thank you for coming, everybody. I was in bed this morning, and, you know, we traveled here last night. And sometimes I just lay in bed and think for a while, and I can't get up right away. And so I'm thinking maybe I should start to think about what I'm going to say at that bookstore, you know? And then I was thinking, which book am I supposed to be talking about, you know? Because there's three books, you know? And then I remembered that the tour manager said it was the business book. You know, there's a book about business, which is basically a book about how to make money being a spiritual person. Okay? And that book's been a big, I mean, that book we did before retreat, and it's sold all over the world. It's like really big in the world now and translated into many languages. And people in China are doing groups, sessions to read this book together and talk about it. So that's like, if you have financial problems, you need the diamond cutter, okay? Seriously. And then there's a spiritual book called The Garden. And then there's a new book called The Tibetan Book of Yoga. And we decided on the tour. We got the tour schedule. We got it all booked out. And then Doubleday said we wouldn't have any books. I only have one, okay? So I remember distinctly that the tour manager's schedule said that I'm supposed to talk about this book this morning, this afternoon. And then when I got up, last night, late at night, we got in like at 10 or 11, the guy told me, no, it's the diamond cutter book, you know, it's the business book you're supposed to talk about. So I'm sitting in bed this morning, laying in bed deciding, is it the yoga book or the business book, and what am I going to say? So those of you who know me well, you know what I chose. What is it? I decided to talk about a book I haven't written yet. It's called The Second American Empire. So today's a big, in my mind, it's like a historic moment. It's a new idea, it's a new book, okay? Nobody's ever heard about it except me. Okay, so if you have financial problems, get the diamond cutter. It's here. You can order it. I mean, you can get it right now.
Well, I was going to say that's the one you're going to be selling because you want to make some money.
We don't make any money off these. We give away the money, by the way. All the royalties from those books went directly to Tibetan refugee monks.
Yeah.
$50,000 upfront went to the... We just gave it away. That's another story. But, you know, we were in three-year retreat, right? This is a silent retreat. You're in a small yurt in the Arizona desert. You can't go outside of this fence. And we're sitting there, and we don't know anything about the outside world. We're told people, if my father dies, my mother dies, my lama dies, I don't want to know. For 3 years, no communication at all. We don't hear anything from the outside world. And so all we get is this food basket. You know, they pass it through a gate in the fence, and then we run out and get it, you know, like we're all excited. What's going to be for dinner today or whatever, you know. It's like the only thing to look forward to, right? And I start to notice something, you know, like I'm pulling out these, like we told them after a while not even to wrap stuff in newspapers or stuff because it was very, you know, you go crazy. And then we start... they have to take the price tags off because we don't want to know how the economy is doing or anything like that. And then we start getting food and we start getting stuff. We order a shovel, we order a bucket. Everything is made in China. You know? Like I start to notice, you know, like I was in business for 15 years, you know. We started this business. I was helped start a corporation in New York City. That's what the diamond cutter's about. We needed money to support Tibetan refugees. So I went out and helped to start a business. We started it with a $50,000 loan. And then if you read the book and the principles, that company now sells $200 million a year because we ran it by spiritual principles, you know. So I'm very sensitive to where stuff is made, you know. So I'm sitting there in this three-year retreat, and I keep getting in the basket, made in China, you know. And I'm saying, this is weird, you know, like this is a real trend, you know. Like after a while, after a year and a half or 2 years in solitary retreat, everything is made in China. I mean, there wasn't a single thing. No, and I know business, you know. What I wanted to say is like, I've been in corporate life. I know business. I know economics, you know. I know about offshore production. You know, I helped build factories in India, in Thailand, in Taiwan, in Singapore, in the whole third world. I know. We had Dominican Republic was one of our big factories. So I know about all this stuff, right? And I've just seen this pattern, you know? Like, it's just nothing made in America. And then I start to think about this American empire, you know? Like, you would say, you know the British Empire, right? You know the Roman Empire, you know, the rise and fall of the British Empire, or the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And then you would say, no, we're not an empire, but God, this is the empire. If any empire was ever an empire, it's America. You know, like it's not a political empire, right? It's an economic empire, right? And I know, because I was so tied up with it, like I was spending half my time in the refugee camps, the Tibetan refugee camps in India, the poorest country in the world. Be a refugee in the poorest country in the world, you know? And then I'm spending half my time in these, you know, billion-dollar corporations in Manhattan. So I know about the empire, you know? We have had an empire, you know? There has been the first American empire, and it's not a small one. It's the biggest one there ever was. We didn't instate that empire by political or military means, right? It wasn't like we took over other countries politically. And it wasn't like we took over other countries, militarily, right? Like there weren't American troops marching throughout these other countries. But we have taken over the world, and we run the world. We run our empire, the first American empire, as an economic empire. And I've been part of it, you see, I know how it goes. I've been in Thailand, I've hired people, you know. My boss was like, we were in Korea, get out of Korea, why? It went up over 50 cents an hour, we got to get out of Korea, find another country. Okay, let's go to Thailand. You move the whole operation to Thailand, you know. Keep it under 50 cents an hour, you know. Then you hear about Vietnam's opening up, 25 cents. 25 cents? Just get into Vietnam, you know. And it's this thing. It's a thing. And so basically our culture, you know, and led by the corporations of which I've been a part, you know, has an empire. And then we are sucking the assets of the world into our empire. We are raping the natural and labor resources of the rest of the world. The words third world were invented by us. And we are eating. I don't know, what is it, 80? Somebody's got to look it up on the web for me, okay? 85, 90% of the world's resources, you know. Go to, I was in the diamond business. People say, how could you do that? Go to South Africa, you know, look at one of these mines, you know. It's unbelievable. Like, imagine Albuquerque ripped up and this hole down into the ground, the largest hole in the world. It takes like a fleet of 9,000 tractors to keep this hole open, you know. West Coast of Africa, there's a river called the Orange River that flows out. It carries diamonds down from a pipe out to sea, and then there's a current that spreads them along the beach, offshore. And we have barges out there, De Beers Corporation, cartel. There's barges there ripping up the ocean floor so that you can have a diamond ring, you know. And we support it. We demand it. You see, the demand is coming from us, from our empire. We have created that demand and that mentality. You know, like you go to India, you say, I'd like to learn music. They say, there's no music teachers. I said, no, there used to be a teacher in every village. You know, you could learn music in every village. No, they're all off in Bombay. What? Why? The music for the movies, you know? 500 movies coming out of Bombay. They got to make pop tunes for the You can't learn traditional music anymore, you know? There's this demand that our empire has created for physical things, you know, material things. And then we've just been living off that, you know? We've just been a silent, you know this, you know, I flew from the East Coast to the West Coast a couple of weeks, like a week ago, and I looked down, there's like lights from coast to coast. So where are you going to put the next generation, you know? And who's running the lights, you know what I mean? How much oil to run those lights, you know? Like, there's lights from coast to coast. And you're wondering, where are they going to put the next generation, you know? There's no place. And we're all just like this, you know? Like, we're all just, like, pretending it's not happening, you know? And go to India. I mean, go to Thailand. Go to Korea. I've been there, you know? I hired these people. I've been in the refugee camps. They don't have enough to eat, you know. I went into, what do you call it? The 7-Eleven, right? And I wanted to buy potato chips. And they said you have to buy them in this plastic cup thing. I don't want the plastic cup. I just want the potato chips, you know. Like that much oil that went into that cup could let the lady that I met in India 2 months ago would have enough oil to cook for her family. And she doesn't have it now. She doesn't have enough fuel to cook dinner for her family. And you got that fuel locked up in this Lay's potato chip cup, you know? I don't want the cup. Let her have the oil, you know what I mean? I don't need that much, you know what I mean? And so our empire has been like, I don't know how you say it. We have created this insane consumerism, and then we are, in a way which is much more cruel than any military could ever do, we are oppressing the rest of the world economically. We are stealing, literally, the resources. We decide the price of oil by how many Lay's potato chip cups you use. And then a certain percentage of people in India can't cook dinner. And that's just an equation. That's the way it is, you know? So, and we live that way, and you know it, and you feel bad. Right? Inside you feel bad about it, you know? And you know it's going, you're not stupid, right? You know it's going on. You know we're doing it. And you know that your children or your children's children are not going to have enough. You know that. But we keep doing it, you know? Like, we just do it that way. So then, that's where the Made in China comes in, right? I mean, I'm a Buddhist, right? I'm a Buddhist monk. I was trained for like 30 years. By these great lamas, you know, in Tibetan monastery. And then you can't get away with this kind of empire, you see? It will fall, you see? You can't keep doing it, I mean, karmically, okay? Whatever you do to others will come back, you see? It will fall. And so then we come out of a three-year retreat, right? And one of the first people we meet is a guy named Ted Lemon. And I knew him when I taught in New York, you know. And we started all our classes in New York City. And he said, I have to talk to you. Me and my wife, Andrea, have to talk to you. And they take us off to a... I'm going to cry. They take us to a wash in the desert. And they sit down. And they're crying. You know, we said, what's wrong? They said, we have to tell you something about New York. You know, and so they started to tell us what happened, you know, with the World Trade Center. And a lot of our friends were there. One of my students was walking into the building when it was hit. And it's very hard, you know, to hear. And something clicked in my mind, you know. I said, people will look back. Historians will look back. And they will say that the American Empire began to end on that day. You see? That was the beginning of the end for the American Empire. You know, there's all these books about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And the British Empire went its way, right? A physical empire. But now there's this economic empire. And people will look back and they will say, if we don't change, right? If we don't change karmically what we're doing, they will look back and say, that was the time that it started. That was the beginning of the decline, you know, of this country. And I like this country, you know, I'm sort of attached to it, you know. I'm not like a flag-waving patriot or anything like that, but I really like this country, you know. I think it's done a lot of good things, you know. So in a way, we stand at some kind of a crossroads, right, karmically. You know, if we continue to pillage the resources of the rest of the world and our children, right? If we continue to just splurge them like an irresponsible kid, teenager with a credit card, you know, and then hand the bills over to your kids and go away, you know, then karmically, the decline will go quickly now. You see, you always think in the back of your mind economically, oh, we're covered, you know. Let the Chinese make baskets. Let them import the plastic stuff to Walmart. I don't care if they have the garden tool industry locked up. You know, let them do the schmuck work. We got the stuff, you know. We still got the computers, the airplanes, the stuff. Then I read a newspaper, you know, high tech. One third of all high-tech equipment is now made in China. You know, like it's not baskets anymore, and it's not garden tools anymore. It's and you can't sit here and think that your kids are going to have the best jobs anymore. I called Hewlett Packard. I like them. They gave us our first grant for refugee. We have computer programs in refugee camps to save their ancient texts. So we taught them to type their ancient texts in, the Tibetan refugees. So I like Hewlett Packard. They gave us our first grant. This is 15 years ago. And so I call Hewlett Packard. I need help with a printer. And I get, there's this long delay on the phone. And then it's, this is Manoj. May I help you? And I'm like, Manoj, are you Indian? Yes, yes, I am sitting in India. What are you thinking, you know? And I'm like, I'm talking to somebody in India. I just called Hewlett Packard for help. You know, yes, this is Hewlett Packard helpline. You know, you are supposed to be telling me problem with your printer. Well, my printer's not working. Cable? What is a cable? You know, and then I'm like, how did this? You mean Hewlett Packard sends all their technical assistance calls get forwarded to India by satellite, and they're answered by people working for, I know. It's about $50 a month to give you technical assistance, you know. So you can't think that, oh, there's a little corner. We still got the best. You know, don't worry. We still got the computer stuff. We still got the Boeing 747. We still got the what? The satellites? China's sending up satellites now, you know. They don't trust them on American equipment anymore, you know. And it's a decline. The country's in a decline. I mean, I come out of my retreat. You know, I went to the diamond business. I went to talk to my old boss, you know. He's in New York City. He's running $200 million a year company. And I'm like, I'm poking around for a while, and I'm like, so have you guys done an inventory lately? He says, yeah, we did an inventory, you know. And I'm like, well, what's your worth? What's the diamonds up to now? He says, God, we got inventories up to over $10 million now. So I'm like, you got $10 million in inventory, right? He says, yeah. That's a lot of inventory to carry. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, we did 30,000 diamonds a day. I mean, this is the level. I'm like, well, so what's the bank giving you? 12 million? 15? What are you getting? He said, no, 100 million a year. I said, what? I said, you got $10 million of diamonds, right? Yeah. And the bank is loaning you $100 million a year. Right. So if you go under, what happens? Well, you know, they get $5 million by selling $10 million in inventory, because we always overstate the inventory. You know, so like, you're getting $100 million loan because you have $5 million to give them in case you collapse. He says, sure, that's the way it works now. And I'm like, and then the whole stock market's working this way. You see what I mean? There is no equity. There is no production. You see? And everyone's got their money tied up there. If you're retired, your money's tied up there. You know? There is no value of the stock market. Tell you the truth. I mean, don't tell everybody, okay? No, I'm in the middle of it. I know corporations. For a diamond company or something like that, at least there's something you can have there. If the place goes under, you still get five cents on the dollar, right? But Yahoo or AOL, or these are running on ideas. They have no net worth. There is no value. You know, the whole American economy, the empire's economy, is running off of a country that doesn't produce anything anymore. You know, nothing. Some food products, when we eat them, okay? We don't produce anything. I mean, get it. Get it, you know? We don't make anything anymore. And we're just moving loans around, you see? And someday somebody will call us on it. You see, I mean, they'll call us on it. Who owns the money in the stock market? Most of it's foreign, because they believe that America will somehow be stable, you know? That's all we got. We don't make anything anymore. You see what I mean? We don't make anything of value. And by the time your children get your age, the cards will be played out. And people will call us on it. And it will be nothing. And then you start to get political danger. You see? Then you get somebody thinking, I could blow up the World Trade Center. You see? That's a sign. Oh, nobody could blow up the World Trade Center in the past? Of course they could blow up the World Trade Center. You know? What? Well, you think they couldn't blow it up? You know what I mean? Of course they could have blown it up for the last 50 years. But nobody thought of it, you see? Because of the empire. You know? And now they see the empire in a different way. You see, there's a crack. There's a crack in the empire. You see? Like, we, karmically, okay, I'm a Buddhist, right? Karmically, we have used the world for our own pleasure. And now, karmically, it has to come back. You see, it's not like you can... And what does a big bully do when it gets tough? You see, what does a strong guy do when they start to lose it? They get violent. You know, they get violent. Like the British in India, right? I mean, Gandhi's thing started to work. Gandhi was spreading nonviolence. The British saw that they were going to lose this piece of their empire. Then you get violent. Then you get nasty. You get irritable. Politically. Militarily irritable. You know? Like you're like, don't push me around. I'm the empire, you know? Then you start sending out people. You know, for the first time, in just a reaction way. You know, like, don't bother me. I could beat you up. I'm still strong enough to do something. And then you go pick on some country, you know, and kill some people. You know, I'm still strong. That's a sign, you see. People will look back at that and say, that was the second sign that the empire was falling. You see what I mean? They started this thing of picking on people just because they're irritated as a people, as a nation, you know. I'm tired. I'm the empire. When you start to have to say that, it means what? You ain't the empire anymore. You see what I mean? When you have to say, you see, you never thought of yourself an empire until the empire's starting to decline, right? And then you see, we had an empire. We had an empire. And, you know, it was economically, it was selfish, based on really selfish. We took the world's resources, and selfishly. And come on, you knew there were people in Mexico who didn't have dinner. You knew there were people in India that didn't have dinner. What do you expect? You know, how's the world going to treat you now? You know, how's the world going to treat us now? You see? Like the karma comes back. You see? It's not like you didn't know. Okay? It's not like we didn't know. And we kept splurging, you know? You kept spending this credit card and hand it to your kids. You know? Anyway, now we got to get to the Second Empire, which is not so depressing. Okay? We have a choice now. You know, we can go two ways. I mean, we can just stick your head in the sand, get pissed off when people don't respect the empire. This empire is going down, you know, just time. We don't make anything. Hang on one sec. I'll do a question and answer, okay?
I just want to make a
question. Okay, all right.
It has been said so many times on television, we are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I am not responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am very much against everything that has happened. I'm 80 years old now, and I've lived through many years of things that I saw that I did not represent
mm-hmm.
or go along with. I'm also a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is this, that the capitalists, you've got three areas. You've got this area way up here, like with Bush and his cohorts in
mm-hmm.
Dick Cheney and them,
mm-hmm.
and Rumsfeld, Vomino, extremely
yeah.
wealthy people. I call
yeah.
it the Bush Empire.
Yeah.
And in the middle, you've got
yeah.
people like maybe us here, then down below here, we have so many people right here in this country who are starving.
Yeah.
Children who don't have education.
The Bowie school, we live in Bowie, Arizona, right? They close on Fridays now. There's no money for school. Right, so I agree. So, what to do about it, you know? Like, what to do? I mean, it's not just to stand here and pick on ourselves. Like, we did a lot of things right, right? But personally, I would like the empire to continue or have a second empire. You see what I mean? And that would be a different kind of empire. How does karma work? You know, how does economy work? According to Buddhism, and this is the subject of the Diamond Cutter, and really is the subject of the yoga book, okay? If you really want to know about yoga, come tonight to, what's it called? High Desert Yoga, if you know where that is. Okay. And we'll talk about this according to yoga. But anyway, what do you do when people are challenging your empire? Like, I'll give the example of China. China's dear to my heart. I lived with Tibetan refugees for 30 years. They were pushed out of their country by China. I know how China works, you know? And it's hard. It's tough, you know? Like, hard. Hard people to compete with, you know? Like I'll say it frankly, you know, they're going to be the force to deal with, you know? In economic terms, in social terms, like, you people, you've never even dreamed of a foreign army in Albuquerque. You know? You've never even dreamed of it. You wouldn't even think of it, you know? It's beyond it's out of your range, you know? Like an army coming in, taking over City Hall and saying, you can't work at the job you work at. You know? You're going to go dig silver in a mine up in northern New Mexico because we need it back home. You know? The folks back home need it. And we'll give you enough to live on, whatever. You know? But the folks back home need the silver for their movies and stuff. We need parts for our movie-making machines and stuff. So you're going to work in or you're going to work in a sweatshop. You know, your kids working in a Chinese sweatshop. How's that? You know, we have a project in Russia. We're saving ancient Buddhist texts in the Russian libraries. It's been there for 14 years. We've recovered 100,000 texts. A lot of the people in the city, St. Petersburg, where we are headed for China, especially the women. They work in the bars in China because they can make more money. You see what I mean? Huge numbers of Russian women. I mean, you don't get upset when you think of people in Mexico working in a sweatshop, what, 100 miles away? To make your clothes for Banana Republic, right? But what about your kids working in a Chinese sweatshop in 50 years, in 30 years? How's that? You know, for their folks back home. Is that okay? You know what I mean? And you say no. You know, and then you're starting to feel a little like, how do you call that? I lost a lot of words during 3-year retreat. You're feeling indignant. Yeah, exactly. You're feeling indignant. Like, my kids working in a Chinese sweatshop in Albuquerque after they take off? Come on. Yeah, I'm talking that. So you start to feel indignant, you know, like, are we going to wake up the American giant, you know? Like, are we finally going to start making something of our own? I'm going to make my own garden tools, you know? We're going to buckle down and we're going to get the plastic industry back where it was, you know? Like, we're not going to let this happen, you know? I ain't talking about that, okay? I'm not talking about that. Forget that one. Cancel that indignation. I'm not talking about that. Now, the Buddhist approach, the way to start the second American empire, and this is just an idea, okay? It's the next book. I didn't write yet. Okay? It's very weird. It's like crazy wisdom, right? Crazy. It's very weird, and it works. And I can stand up there and say that because my company that I started is making $200 million in sales a year. You know, like, you can say I'm crazy. You can say I don't understand economics. But my little empire is like, boom, you know, like that. Like, I'm talking from the point of view of $200 million sales a year. Like, probably the equivalent of the whole economy in half the state that I live in now. Seriously. Okay? Seriously. So whatever I did, you can say I'm wacky or whatever, but whatever I did works, right? So, what to do about the Chinese invasion of our empire, you know? What to do? Help them. Give them everything you can. You gotta cook that in your mind, you know? Support them. Give them as many jobs from us as they can take. And make sure they get paid well. Okay? Like, do everything you can to help the Chinese people and the Chinese economy. Learn Chinese. Learn this ancient culture. Study that ancient culture. Beautiful. And the Arab culture, you know, which has invented mathematics for us, you know, kept astronomy alive while we were in the Middle Ages. The stars are all named in Arab names. This music, classical music, it's from Islamic culture, Arab culture. We are Semitic. The Judeo-Christian thing is from Arab culture. Study these ancient cultures. You know, love them, learn them, and then serve them. If there's a chance to send a job to China, send it. The best jobs. If there's a chance to help an Indian person learn to program a computer, give it away to them. Okay? Serve them. Be concerned about them and not us. You see, very radical. Very radical. Get it? Get it? Very hard to put your mind around. Give away the best to the ones who are threatening you. Okay? Serve them. Honor them. Don't be jealous of them. Don't be envious. China's going to wipe us out. The economy, their national gross product, forget it. You know, $60 billion a year going into their country from our country? Trade deficit? You know. So, what do we do? Here's the choice. You know, I'll give you two choices. Restrict the import of Chinese products. You know, create tension with Chinese military. Take a hard stand in Taiwan. Talk about Tibet as much as you can. Over here. Okay? Over here, do everything you can to honor them, to serve them, to make sure that the people in China who are not up to our level of living are brought up to our level of living, as if they were our own people. As if they were Americans. You know, don't put up with Chinese people making $50 a month. Say, we don't put up with that. We want them paid what we would get paid. We want them taken care of as well as us. We want their children eating as well as my kids. We want their kids to have the same opportunities that our kids have. 100%. It's not enough that they're halfway up to us now. They got to be up with us or better than us. That's how to start the second American empire. You see? Then this country will take off. I'm talking to you from the point of view of a person who went with $7 an hour job and now that company's $200 million a year. Got it? Get it? It works. It's radical. It's what this guy, what's Jesus Christ's name, I think something like that, was talking about. You know? Like, what is it? Give up your life and you'll receive your life. You know? Give up your life. And then you will get your life, you see? But you gotta be willing to make this jump, you know? You gotta be 100% goddamn sure. Okay, I will serve the Chinese people. I will make sure they get every opportunity we have. I will demand of my country that we support their boom, you know, in every way we can. And not try to, like, block it or be jealous or envious. Like, serve them. Get them up to our level or better. You know, make sure their kids have opportunities. Then the second American empire will rise. You'll see it. And if you don't do that, it's going to be the pattern it's on now. It's just going to decline. We'll be a second-rate country in 2001. You know? Okay? And we'll be a bully pushing around people because we feel like no one respects us anymore. You know? So that's all I got to say. That book hasn't been written yet. You can buy it here in 2-3 years. Double Day's really slow. Think about it. Because it'll come up. You see, there will be tension now between us and other countries. It started with the Arabic countries. It's going to go to China soon. You know, I can see it. And you got to be ready to stand on the other side and say, being mean to people, competing, trying to oppress people is not where prosperity comes from. It comes from giving away everything you have. You know, instead of being nervous about losing your job, you consciously give it away to a Chinese person. You know, within a year you'll have two jobs, trust me. And I'm speaking from we'll be up to a billion next year, okay, in that one company. So think about it, you know. Think about it hard. And it was what Jesus Christ taught also, you know. Like, give and you shall receive, right? Give up your life, and then you'll get your life back, right? And karmically, that's how it all works. So all these books are the same. We did one for yoga, you know. You want to get strong, you want to get healthy, do yoga with this kind of attitude. And there's certain meditations you can do to get that kind of attitude. And that's a long story. You can hear about that tonight, 7 o'clock at, what's that place called? High Desert Yoga, if you want to. And then The Garden is just a pretty book about these ideas for anybody. I think it's particularly good for young people, okay? Okay, I think I'm out of time, but you guys have any questions or stuff you wanted to talk about? Yeah. Yeah.
American Empire is already starting to happen. I mean, I import stuff from Indonesia. I live with people there, my family.
Good.
I have a friend in Bombay right now. And I see that, like, my friends in Indonesia, they send their kids to preschool and elementary school, and they pay the same amount as here in America.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And oh, yeah. In Bombay, the rents are getting very comfortable here.
The rents, but not the... I was just there. Yeah, it's still $75 max a month.
Yeah, so I totally understand everything
they're
talking about. Yeah. And
the
one with them, because our planet is so small and we only have so many resources, and we are seriously, the people that I know in my generation, we're working towards what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about is, do you see a vision of what it's going to be like are you going to hypothesize what...
Oh, very happy. It's very clear. You spend 3 years in meditation. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. But I can tell you, if we go this way, if we go the selfish way, we will fall. We'll be a second-rate country shortly. It's happening now. People will look back at the World Trade Center and say it started then, you know. So that's one scenario. That's possible. But the other scenario is... This is, wrap your mind around this, okay? Get used to it. You don't have to get an A+ on this today, okay? But think about this other idea. According to Buddhism, according to the laws of karma, if we are totally generous to other people, more resources will occur in the world. The net amount of oil, the net amount of usable energy, money itself will be created. Money is created only by generosity. Try to put your mind around that. The total amount of economic worth of this planet is determined solely by the generosity of our planet's occupants. It's very hard to conceive, you know. If we are totally generous to the countries that are competing with us economically, and this applies to your job, you see, this applies to your office, this applies to where you work tomorrow. If you give up a position to someone else at the office, there'll be more positions next year, and you'll get a better one. You see what I mean? If you give your economic resources away, there'll be more than there in the world next year. It's a very weird idea. It's a very weird idea. Get used to it.
But do you see a revolution?
Oh, yeah. Like that. Like that, you see? Like, what does it mean? If I take as much concern for the kids in Mexico that I'm taking for my own kids, then what does the boundary mean anymore? And with the web, I mean, what does the boundary mean anymore? You see, what do the what's that imaginary line mean anymore? If people in Albuquerque are working as hard for the Mexicans as for their own kids, what does the boundary mean then? You see, it will be a very beautiful world. These ideas will spread, and actually, there'll be plenty for everybody. There'll be more prosperity for everybody than there was before when we were being selfish. It's very weird because giving is what creates money. And I'll give an example. The invention of the personal computer or the invention of the web itself. You see, according to a Buddhist, that's the karma of helping other people. That only was created by our helping other people. And now suddenly, the economic possibilities are 100 times what they were 5 years ago. You know, so this is what I'm trying to say. They will discover like some kind of new solar chip, and we'll all be living off solar energy, and there'll be plenty of food for everybody. And yeah, if we don't go the selfish way, according to karma, the laws of karma, it creates money. It creates resources. It creates coal, oil, solar. It's weird. It's really weird. Where do you think they came from? You got three choices. I'm not going to make this a Buddhist lecture, of course. Is oil? There's only three choices. This is from the ancient Buddhist scriptures. Is oil created by a Big Bang? You know, were the oil resources under the ground in Texas? Were they created by some random event 3 trillion years ago? You know, like, are you personally the result of X atoms bumping into each other by damn good luck after 3 trillion years? Is it all just random? You know, like the faces in this room, which are so unique, each one, so beautiful, each one, you know? Is that just an extraordinary coincidence of so many atoms colliding with so many other atoms after an initial random incident? I mean, that's the first choice. That's what science is actually saying, whether they want to admit it or not. Your face, your life, is an unbelievably extraordinary coincidence that so many atoms have banged together. I mean, that's a Big Bang. That's a Big Bang. There's no other thing. There's no other thing deciding that you came here today. Okay, second choice. There's this big guy with a long white beard, you know, and he's like, they ought to go to the bookstore this morning, you know. Okay, get him in the car. You know, make sure the car starts. You know, okay, and go to the bookstore. You know, I mean, there's a higher being in charge. I mean, that was a viewpoint for a long time in our culture, you know, that somebody was, it's comforting, right? There's somebody, this not chaos. It's not random atoms bumping into each other. Somebody is directing it. Now, good job, bad job, you can discuss that. Third choice. You get exactly what you do to others. You get 100.000% exactly what you do to others. You know, you have a nasty economic empire that like takes all the steel ore out of India and doesn't leave them any for themselves. And they don't get oil for their dinner. It's going to happen to you. It has to happen to you. And that's where everything comes from. There's three choices. And a lot of people like you and me, we want to mix them, you know? Like, God's taking care of the big stuff. And the fact that oxygen is breathable is a collision of atoms thing. And when I get a promotion, it's because I was a good guy, you know? I mean, we want a certain mix of those three, you know? That's our worldview, but that's another. Any other questions? Yeah.
Do you believe there's a conflict of interest to be created by those who are willing to work for the second American empire using generosity and compassion, and those who are in power now,
okay, I'm going to repeat the question just so everybody can hear it. Is there a conflict of interest? Do you see like a conflict? I think a conflict coming up between the people who are in power now and this whole idea of a second American empire, which is, I don't know, you guys think of a name for me, because I can't get a catchy name. It's like, before it was an economic empire now, and now what is it going to be? It's like a whole group of people who are giving away stuff to other countries because they want prosperity, like a spiritual empire. Maybe a spiritual empire. We could export ideas, you know. A mitzvah empire? I don't know. Ahimsa. Okay. Yeah. No. I like it. No. Coming. Anyway, is there a conflict of interest? You know, you want the real Buddhist line? Yeah. Oh, what do we do? How do we deal with that conflict? There will be, yeah. Yeah, let's say this idea gets big, you know. Let's deal with foreign competition by giving them as much help as we can. And then there'll be this whole other reaction, like fear. You know, like, let's cut Chinese imports. You know, that's the only way to deal with them. They're getting too strong. Like, when a country is nice and small and we're helping them out, we feel good. When they start to get as strong as us, it's like, no, you can't do that. You see what I mean? Yeah. And it happens on a personal level in your office. You know, you help the people who are really lousy. Like, you'll help the clerks, right? But they get up to VP level, you're already jealous and working against them, right? So anyway, I'll give you the straight Buddhist line. Again, it's something you got to wrap your mind around. It's very difficult to absorb in one day, okay? But sorry, we're leaving tomorrow, so I got to do it. You created those guys in power. They are a precise reflection of how we behave. You see? If you took all the power desire in your heart and you distilled it and projected it out of your mind, it would be the people in power. They are a reflection, a genuine, 100% perfect reflection of the deepest desire for power in your own hearts. And if you don't like them, what do you have to do?
Yeah.
I mean, real Buddhist, deepest Buddhist. It doesn't preclude political action. I like political action. I do political action. I've gone to jail for political action, okay? But deep down, the real way to change it is to root out that tendency in yourself. And then you won't see it anymore. It's called Tatsanidhava Vairatyaga. It's in the Yoga Sutra. It's an ancient book. If you don't do violence to others, then within a certain number of years, violence will disappear in your personal world, in your personal experience of the world. It's very interesting. So it's very important to remember that when you see these big, powerful, nasty guys, to realize that it's a part of you that you're seeing. And you gotta root it out. You know, and then they will change. Suddenly Bush will be giving this talk instead of me. No, don't. If you laugh, you don't get it. If you laugh, you didn't get what I said today. You know? If you laugh, you didn't get what I was telling you today. You know? They are reflection. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Unbelievable stuff can happen. Miracles can happen. Miracles. This is how miracles happen. I'll tell you. I'll give you another story. You guys don't believe me yet. I needed a place to have a retreat center for my students in New York, you know. So we were as generous as possible. For like, I don't know, 6 months, a year, something like that. Thelma was there, she knows. And we keep looking for a retreat center. You know, how are we going to raise any money? We can't even pay the rent. We're in Hell's Kitchen in New York. People get their cars stolen coming to class, you know? And we did special meditation, special prayers. Then this lady comes out to me. Somebody's standing in line at a grocery store. And they say, I got this estate in Connecticut. We're trying to give it away. You know? And they gave it to us for $1. It's a $3 million estate. And that's karma. You got to know karma. You got to learn how to use karma. It's unbelievable. So the idea that Bush couldn't be giving this lecture next year here, we'll see. But no, it's unbelievable what you can do with this stuff. I'm trying to tell you, you know. you want to get it, do it. Yeah.
Well, where does voting fit in all of this?
Say again?
Where does voting
Voting is, I mean, one thing you've got to understand, you express your, this doesn't preclude political action at all. Not at all.
You, voting is good.
Of course, you have to. Yeah, I mean, a lama would say, you have to. It's an expression of your desires. You have to elect the people who will carry out these ideas, right? One or two more, and then we have to stop. Yeah.
I got an idea for the second name.
Good.
Compassionate Empire.
Compassionate Empire.
Or loving.
Loving Empire.
I like loving.
Keep thinking. No, I like it. We got so far spiritual empire. You got a different one?
I was thinking about because I was thinking about Bergson and his idea of moral evolution, and it jumped so well with what he said. And of course, it is a process of selection, and it's not overnight.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight, and it takes hard work. Really, it takes hard work. The hardest work is to change your own head. Go sit in a yurt for 3 years. And you think it was like clouds floating above and little angels speaking to you. And I said to people, the closest thing I could compare it to was the Vietnam War, you know, like being in the trenches in the Vietnam War. It's like that. It's like, yeah.
If you could bring it down to a very simple example of this condition of giving and loving. And, you know, and let them have their own way.
Yeah.
Because when we were studying in Boston and Massachusetts, you know, like 40 years ago, they told us that if someone approaches you, can you hear me? Okay. If someone approaches you and there's not a medium between you where maybe that person is not really listening to you in the way that you want them to, and they're showing resentment to you, they insult you, don't take it as an insult. Listen to it. Why did it insult you? Why did it upset you? And just say, well, okay, thanks, you know. Walk away. Now, after you walk away, go back and think about yourself. What did you say to make them come forward with that remark? Little do we realize that sometimes on the spur of the moment, we out. And we think we're saying nice things, but we aren't. You don't know how another person is accepting what you're saying. What's wrong with you in the first place? You were not exerting that helpfulness, that willingness, the brotherhood that exists there in your karma to help this person.
I like one thing you said. You said, get it down to something practical, right? What would you say is something practical? I mean, we're all going to go home, right? It sounds inspiring. I know what happens. By Monday morning, we all forgot it, right? What's something practical you can do? I'll give one thing, then if anybody else has something.
Well, I just want to say one
yeah,
thing.
Then yeah.
When that person sees how you're behaving, they say, oh, my God, I said the wrong thing to the wrong person. And all of a sudden, you're friends. Your mind. You're doing things. I've been in it for 40 years.
Aura, raise your hand. Okay, Aura's got this thing going. She helped build the centers in India where we have Tibetan refugee, mostly women, actually. Now it's all women, I think. We teach Tibetan refugee women to preserve their ancient texts. They type in their ancient texts. And then we give them away on the web. People can just take them. And she doesn't know it, but we're going to start one in China at Datong Monastery with Thomas Lim from Hong Kong and try to promote Chinese people working with the Tibetan people and us to do the same work there and try to get them up to what we would pay here. You see what I mean? So if you want to work on something like that, even if you're in Albuquerque, I just still don't know how to spell it. I tried this morning for like 3 times. Talk to Aura. I mean, if you want to do something practical, and this is even on the level that you could do it at home. There's stuff you can do at home. You can just Xerox stuff for us from the library and stuff like that. There's stuff you can do at home that would help with that kind of thing. Secondly, if you really want this American Empire idea to go, second one, right? The first one was, it was a good one, but it could be better, right? The second one, at work tomorrow, see how you can give away opportunities to other people, you know? Like somebody, the boss offers you some kind of opportunity, or you have opportunity to take credit for something that happened at work, give it away to somebody else and don't tell anybody. I learned that from a Dear Abby column, you know? It's a great thing, you know? Do something kind for somebody and do it so anonymously that even they don't know that you did it, you know? So, like, at work tomorrow, it's going to happen with 3 people in this room. You know, you'll have some opportunity to get credit for something you did, or you'll have some opportunity to get a position you wanted. Consciously give it away and dedicate it to the second American Empire. Okay? According to karma, according to what we believe, it will help the second American Empire happen. The spiritual, compassionate, loving empire, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much. If you, yeah, you do your thing. Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Geshe Michael Roach has a few minutes if you'd like to get a book signed. That would be, I'm sorry, there's only one of that Tibetan Book of Yoga, sorry. The Diamond Cutter and the Garden. He'll be here for another 20 minutes or so. So thank you very much. We appreciate your coming. Thank you.